Dolphins Monday opening drive is on the air. Sunday has come and gone, but our Fins coverage is still full gear. We'll bring you live coverage of Coach Philbin's Monday press conference, plus a complete breakdown of yesterday's game. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive right now.
Welcome to Dolphins Monday opening drive with former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. The Dolphins with a big time 24-20 win over the New England Patriots yesterday afternoon. Miami goes to 8-6 on the year. They snap a 7-game losing streak to the New England Patriots. And thanks to what happened last night in Pittsburgh, the Dolphins control their playoff destiny with 2 games to go. That's right, no matter what happens tonight between Baltimore and the Lions in Detroit, if the Dolphins pick up wins at Buffalo and against the Jets in their final 2 regular season games, they will be a playoff team. In fact, the Dolphins technically still alive for a shot at the AFC East title, though that would require New England going 0-2 in addition to the Dolphins going 2-0. But those words, there's maybe the second and third best grouping of words you can hear in sports. Control your own destiny. You would have liked to hear clinched a spot, but that's right. Not the position this team is in. But nonetheless, with all of the turmoil and all of the things this team went through in the early and middle portions of this season, OJ, with 2 to go, against divisional opponents, 1 on the road, 1 at home. You love the fact that they are in control of their destiny.
How about that, Jesse? Start off 3-0. You lose 4 straight. You have what happened in the locker room happen. Then you go 5-2 since. You got to give props to this team, this organization. You got to give it up to Coach Philbin and his staff for getting these guys ready to play. You know, they question this locker room. You see how tight and what kind of bond they have in that locker room. These guys are showing up week in, week out. And even the games that we've lost, they've been super competitive and probably could have won those games the last 7. But you got to give it up to that locker room, man, for coming together as a group and blocking out all the distractions and concentrating on playing football each and every day.
And OJ, this is a deep football team. It's just not, you know, 1 or 2 guys that are coming up with plays that have been carrying the Miami Dolphins down this stretch, down this 3-game winning streak. I mean, just look at yesterday. Michael Thomas comes up with huge plays in the secondary. You know, you go through the rash of injuries. Charles Clay comes in at tight end and plays a big role. Jimmy Wilson has been everywhere on this defense. So it's been nice to see everybody contributing.
OJ McDuffie, John Congemi, and Jesse Agler. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to break down the 4-point win over the New England Patriots. We'll also hear from offensive coordinator Mike Sherman and defensive coordinator Kevin Coyle. You're listening to Dolphins Monday opening drive on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to Dolphins Monday opening drive.
7 seconds left. Dolphins up by 4. Brady with the ball in his own 14-yard line. Out of the shotgun. Back to throw. Looking. Getting pressure. Fires. Intercepted. The Dolphins are going to win this football game. Michael Thomas makes the interception.
Finally makes a mistake. How about that? The Dolphins are alive in the playoff hunt.
Oh, no. Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how it ended, basically, yesterday afternoon at Sun Life Stadium. Welcome back to Dolphins Monday opening drive with O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. Michael Thomas, who arrived 5 days in South Florida prior to yesterday's game, makes the game-sealing interception of Tom Brady in the end zone on a 4th-down play from the 14-yard line, and the Dolphins snap their 7-game losing streak to the New England Patriots. Defensive coordinator Kevin Coyle at the podium a few minutes ago was talking about Michael Thomas and talking about his experience or lack thereof this week. We told you he arrived here on Tuesday, had to get on a 2:30 p.m. San Francisco time flight out of the Bay Area on Monday, got here Monday night, worked with the Dolphins for the first time on Tuesday, and over the course of the practice days on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, took a grand total of zero reps for the Dolphin defense. He was running the scout team defense, not running it. He was on the scout team defense. He was running New England's defense, not Miami's defense, in practice this week, but he was working extra with his position coaches, and as Kevin Coyle was saying a few minutes ago, a very smart guy who was kind of able to pick it up, you know, maybe more quickly than an average dude would be able to do, and he was put really up against the fire in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's Tom Brady of all quarterbacks. I mean, it's basically, you know, him and Peyton Manning are the two guys you would least like to see, I imagine, in a situation like that. And he comes up with two huge plays on that final possession.
It was nice to see, boy. Down the stretch, you know, you've seen Tom Brady go into that situation many times and come out victorious. So you thought that, you know, how are the Miami Dolphins going to come away with a chance to get out of this with less than their starting defensive secondary on the football field? But you have to credit all the guys that worked with Michael throughout the week to getting him mentally prepared to go in. But you have to give him credit for physically going out and doing the job that he needed to do, not only on the interception, OJ, but the play that Danny Amendola had, the pass. It looked like a completed pass near that front right pylon in the end zone. And he's able to go up and challenge the football all the way down to the ground and eliminate the football from the grasp of Amendola. I thought that was probably the greatest play of the football game, because it was lights out, maybe game over at that point, because there wasn't a lot of time left on the time clock to come back and for have Ryan Tannehill generate any sense of offense at that point.
Yeah, you know, we talk about it all the time. When you get certain guys into games, you know, you saw when Will Davis came in the game, Tom Brady tried to pick on him.
Right.
You know, once Will Davis was in there, then we had to bring in Michael Thomas to try to pick on Michael Thomas. So it was a situation where, like, where every team does that. They say, oh, this is the new guy? We definitely have to go after him. What does he really know out there? Got caught in a man-to-man situation in that corner out in the end zone. And all he did was just dig. You know, he saw the receiver's eyes and hands get big, and he went up and made a play. I mean, what a great job for this coaching staff. You talk about Blue, you talk about Lou, you talk about Jeff Burris, getting the guy ready to play. You got a Stanford kid, you know, Jesse. Of course he can pick it up pretty quick and be able to go out there and play, man. But you also have to give credit to guys like Rashad and Clemens for also helping him make sure he's in the right position. You know, I'm able to go out there and make some plays.
That's a huge part of it. And Michael Thomas said after the game yesterday, Rashad Jones, was the guy telling him, you know, where to go. He said, you know, he kind of knew the calls, but he didn't necessarily know the words. So they'd call the play. Well, he knew the play, but he didn't know the call, I guess. And Rashad would say, hey, here's what you're doing
right
on the play. 2 seconds before the snap. And on the last one, Thomas told Peter King of Sports Illustrated, Rashad told him, hey, you're on your own. Like, no safety help. You know, this is it. This is you. And he obviously went up and he made the play. Think about the three DBs that we're talking about here. You got Michael Thomas, who had been around for 5 days playing nickel corner, basically, in the final possession for the Dolphins. He's a safety. He's not even a corner. He's a safety basically playing nickel corner at that point. You've got Jimmy Wilson, who has worked at nickel most of the time, and some safety playing boundary corner, something he hasn't done ever, really, at least this year with the Miami Dolphins. And you got Will Davis, who's got just a handful of regular season snaps under his belt, lined up at a starting corner position, essentially, against Tom Brady. Those were the three guys looking to get it done against Tom Brady late in the fourth quarter yesterday. And as Joe Philbin said in his press conference, and as anyone who watched the game could tell you, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't gorgeous. You're not going to, you know, send the film to Canton and say, this is how you play defense. But in a really, really tough spot, it was good enough, and they got the job done.
You know, a lot of people came into that game talking about who New England didn't have. Didn't have Gronkowski. Yeah. Didn't have Dobbs. Didn't have Tompkins. You know, we get into a game by second half, you know, into the third quarter, we lose our top two corners. You know, our nickel guys got to come out and play corner. We got to bring in two young guys or a guy that hasn't even been here. So these guys, yeah, it wasn't pretty, but they got it done. And you could see that, man, just the whole attitude on that whole defense, that bend but not break. It frustrated the New England Patriots. You can tell. And I love how those guys, you know, they got out there and it wasn't like, you know, they panicked. They went out there, they made plays. There was very few run after catch. There was a couple in there, but at the same time, they made tackles and went out there and made plays. So, I mean, you just got to really – I really want to go back to, you know, the coaching staff getting these guys ready to play and these guys stepping up to the challenge.
And I thought also on the defensive side, let's throw Jelani Jenkins into that mix too, because he was a guy out there in coverage where he anticipates really well from the linebacker spot. He doesn't wait to get picked, OJ. He gets on top of it and gets his – I guess gets the leverage on a would-be pass receiver and gets himself in the vision of a quarterback. So it's very difficult when you're a quarterback trying to fit one in there when a guy anticipates so well. And I thought Jelani Jenkins, let's add him into that trio and make it a foursome, because he did his job quite well yesterday for a guy that's not as experienced as maybe some of the other linebackers on this roster. He came in and did a nice job.
Absolutely. A lot of guys had to do a lot of things yesterday in order for the Miami Dolphins to defeat the New England Patriots for the first time in seven tries, and those guys all came through. Dolphins trailed by three at halftime, 10-7. And how many times over the years have we talked about Belichick and his halftime adjustments? And New England was getting the ball to start the third quarter. They miss a long field goal attempt. The Dolphins come right back and tie it. Couple of big plays from Wallace. Hartline's first catch of the day. And all of a sudden, it's 10-10. Dolphins get another defensive stop. They take the lead. It was actually O.J. the Dolphins who kind of turned the tide in the second half this time.
They had so much momentum going into the half. I mean, it was a great, great job of getting down there. And you've seen it time in and time out where they go down there before the half and find a way to get some points. And going there and get a touchdown before the half was huge. You know, instead of being down 10-0 or 10-3, they go in and get a touchdown, and they're down 10-7, and it just continued from there. I like how the momentum swing and that missed field goal. We've seen it happen to us. It's nice to see it happen to another team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we anticipate hearing from offensive coordinator Mike Sherman. Defensive coordinator Kevin Coyle has done his weekly media availability. If you want to check that out, it will be available on Dolphins.com coming up this afternoon. Same, of course, with the press conference of Joe Philbin, which we heard and watched a little bit earlier. On. Still plenty more to come. We'll hear from Mike Sherman, and we'll continue to break down a wild and wonderful win for the Dolphins yesterday over the New England Patriots. You're listening to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Big Ben now in at running back. Rear series strike to the right. 121 left. Dolphins trail by three. Second and 10 at the Patriot 14-yard line. Back to throw. Flips it out. It's got a wide open receiver. It's Marcus Thigpen. Touchdown, Miami.
Oh, Marcus Thigpen. That's going to put the Dolphins out front.
That's the second consecutive game that Tannehill has led a fourth quarter drive to get the lead.
He's growing up right in front of our eyes.
Nicely said by Bob Greasy. Ryan Tannehill to Marcus Thigpen gave Miami a 24-20 lead with 1:15 to go. At Popular Community Bank, get totally free banking with text alerts and mobile check deposits. Visit PopularCommunityBank.com for details. Popular Community Bank, the human side of banking. Welcome back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive with John Congemi and former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie. I'm Jesse Agler. We're awaiting the weekly press conference for offensive coordinator Mike Sherman. We'll bring you parts of that live. As always, if you want to see the press conferences in full for either him, Kevin Coyle, or Joe Philbin, just go to Dolphins.com later on. Couple of plays before Marcus Thigpen's 14-yard touchdown, which would prove to be the game winner, Joe Philbin made the decision to go for it on 4th and 5 at the 45-yard line, and Charles Clay got 6, and barely. It was a really, really nice effort by Big Play Clay, OJ, on what would turn out to be his only catch of the afternoon.
You know, Big Play Clay really had a good game, but, you know, you could tell that New England was worried about him. He had a lot of double coverage. They paid a lot of attention to him. And so for him to get that one catch to get him involved, I mean, it was a heck of a play. I thought it was a bad pass by Ryan and a great catch by Clay, but hearing Coach talk about it, you know, Ryan has to throw around a free guy that was coming after him. Clay makes a great catch. But then you look at that play again, you see a great block by Deion Sims. You see a nice kick out by Claybone. You see a nice pinback block by Mike Pouncey. And that was just, and that's all we needed to get there. And the rest was all on Clay, you know, to get to 6 yards, you know, when we needed 5. So what a great play that was, man. Great call. And, you know, I love the fact that we were being aggressive right there and not, you know, not giving those guys a chance of possibly having that short field. I mean, let's go for it right now. I love the play call.
Well, that play may have just kept the Miami Dolphins' hopes alive, you know, in the game and in the playoffs going forward, because when you look at it, the stat sheet's only going to say one catch for 6 yards, and it's not going to grab that many headlines or grab that much attention, but it's one of those plays in the game. You always talk about one or two or three, four or five plays that you can go back and say that was a defining moment in that football game. That changed the outcome of that game. Charles Clay's effort on that play changed the outcome of the football game, and let's give Ryan Tannehill credit. It wasn't the greatest throw in the world, but he had to go around bodies to give him a chance, and that's why I think it was such a great play from Charles Clay, because his body and the throw turned him in the direction of the opposite end zone. He had to go back 2 yards to gain 5 or 6, so that's what's made it such a great play, and you pointed out the blocks out in front of Charles.
It was exactly what they needed, and it had that moment of, oh, did he get far enough? But he broke the tackle, as he's done so many times this year, and collects a huge first down. It's time to recap Sunday's Game Changer presented by Xfinity. You're home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today for a great offer. I'm going to start this off because we've talked about everybody but Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And how about I throw his name out there for a game changer? 25 of 37, 312 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a passer rating of 120.6 for Ryan Tannehill in yesterday's game. I know it's not him against Tom Brady, but his numbers better than Tom Brady's yesterday. Brady threw for more yards, but Tannehill more efficient, better passer rating, didn't have the interception that Brady threw late in the game. Ryan also spread it out. 10 different guys caught a pass for the Dolphins yesterday, and in such a big game, coming up with another clutch late drive, I think it's funny because sometimes it's easy to obsess over the quarterback and his accomplishments, but we have so many guys to talk about right now, we're almost ignoring the starting quarterback who had another very good game. We'll see if Mike Sherman ignores him. I bet not. He's at the podium now, next door in the interview room.
That was pretty near the top. I don't know if that was the best, but it was pretty near the top. His decision-making was excellent. His composure made some big-time throws in critical situations. So I'd say that have to be, particularly considering the opponent, that would have to be up the top, I guess.
Wait, how about some of the ball placement that he was able to do on, I think, 2 throws to Rashard at the end of the first half and at the end of the game, and even the one to Thigpen? Those aren't just dart-type throws.
Right, there's some throws he had to put a lot on it, and the other throws he had to take some stuff off, and he made some really, really nice throws at the appropriate time. And our guys stepped up and made some plays, too. They were able to get the edge on the defender and create some space, and Ryan put in a spot where he had to put him.
Mike, when you look at how far you've gone on the roster, whether it's Sam Brenner, Nate Garner, Charles Clay, Rashard Matthews, what does this tell you about the depth and the quality of player that's on the offensive side there?
Well, we're a little thin actually on the offensive line right now, so that's still a concern for us as we continue to work with that group. Going into this season, I didn't really consider Charles Clay anything but a starter. I mean, I thought he would assume that role with Keller and certain packages with Keller and certain packages. Certainly with Clay, but I considered this year to be his coming out year. I thought he started it last year before his injury. Rashard Matthews is a guy that came on at the end of last year as well. He was playing in some games for us and played well. Got hurt early in the season and in camp, and but he's starting to come into his own just a little bit. So I'm excited about those guys.
Brenner particularly, what was the decision to have him start and play throughout?
Well, Nate really backs up. He's a jack of all trades. He's the only guy that I've ever been around that can back up center, both guards and both tackle positions. So, it allows him an opportunity to practice those positions, and Brenner can just focus in on the one position and get his reps there. So, and Sam played fairly well in the last ball game, so we thought we'd go that direction.
Coach, can you go through your mindset on the 4th and 5 play that ended up going to Clay? What was your thinking on the play and calling the play, and how did you observe what transpired?
Well, it really came about because Joe said, hey, we're going to go for it on 4th down. So on the play previously, we ran a 3 verticals and brought Hardline in the back door to get the yardage we had to get to that 4th and 5. We had a long distance to go, and so Hartline made a great play, and I forget the yardage he picked up, 11, 12 yards over the ball. That play set up the 4th down play, so that was really a critical play for us. On the 4th down call, to be honest with you, earlier in the game, Jeff Nixon had said, hey, how about that screen to Clay, and then I hadn't run it yet. They had played Talib on him a few times, so I had a little bit of a concern at that point. And then when the time came, Zach Taylor actually recommended, hey, well, how about the screen again? So it took me a couple of shots for someone to recommend it to me. I said, yeah, now it's about as good as any, I guess. So I felt comfortable with it at that point and held my breath. And he made a play. The quarterback, the throw wasn't perfect, but it was put only in a position where he could make the throw. I mean, there was a rush. We're releasing Claybo off the edge to block outside, and so the rush came right on Tannehill. So he had a where he put the ball was the only spot he could put the ball. It wasn't in a perfect spot. And here you have a guy just making a play. Tannehill made a play, getting him the ball, and then you had Clay adjusting to the ball. But we had some great blocks on that play. Sims came out and knocked the corner off. Claybo came out, made a great block, and Mike Pouncey made a great block. So, and then Clay did a lot with the play as well. So that was a player's play. They all participated in that and made that work, and certainly a critical play in the game. But that could have very easily been a dead play. It's a play that they made work and got us in a position where we could win the football game.
That's offensive coordinator Mike Sherman. We often say football is a team game, and it is. And that play that Mike Sherman was just talking about, the fourth down pickup by Charles Clay that eventually led to Marcus Thigpen's game-winning touchdown, sounds like quite the team play. The little screen to Charles Clay, fourth and five, they end up getting 6 yards out of it. He says, you know, when you just watch it, it didn't look like a good throw from Ryan Tannehill, but the tackle, Tyson Claybo, is released out to block. So you got a defensive end, I guess, who's got, you know, a free really, yeah. shot at Tannehill, and he's got his arms up, and he says, Ryan really threw it the only place you could in order to get the ball to Clay. So it looks like it's not a great ball placement, but it was the only place he could put it because of the rush. And then you had great blocks from Deion Sims, Tyson Claybo, Mike Pouncey to allow Charles Clay to get the 5 yards, and then really a great job by Clay himself to get the sixth yard or whatever was needed for the first down. Everybody kind of doing their thing right there, and it's another example. Hey, you can draw up the X's and O's all you want, and that's an X's and O's play
yep.
because you got, you know, different guys moving in different places, but if everybody doesn't do exactly what they need to do, and if Charles Clay at the end of the day doesn't break that last tackle, probably not getting the 5-6 yards, New England's getting the ball back, and who knows what happens.
You know, Jesse, we've talked about this a lot. A lot of people say, oh, the play calling this, the play calling that, and the coaches have always said it's about execution. And that's a perfect example of a good play call. If it doesn't work, then they're talking about the play call. But the fact that the boys executed it so well, you know, that's what it's all about. From the throw, you know, to Clay making a tough catch, to the kick out block, you know, the seal by everything about that play is about execution. And it's a good play call, a play that could work for those guys. And you got to love the play call, but you got to love the execution. And that's all the coaches can do. They can make the calls, but John, you know, the guys have to go out there and play the game and execute it.
You know, also the collaboration on getting to the call. I think that you have to give credit to Mike Sherman that he's not beyond or too big to take suggestions from some of the other coaches that are around him. You know, he mentioned that Jeff Nixon talked about that play earlier in the game, that Zach Taylor actually came up with that play again, and it takes guts to make the call. But when you have the buy-in of the staff that has everybody's best interest and is so knowledgeable and willing to make that call, when you make it and then you see the collaboration of the guys, it just wasn't one guy, just wasn't Ryan getting the ball out there, and it just wasn't Charles breaking the tackle to get it. It was Claybo, it was Pouncey, it was Sims, it was all those guys out in front. So I just think it's a great story when you hear the story behind the call and how you get to that, you know, fourth down decision, a game on the line. It just doesn't happen, you know, at the spur of the moment.
Yeah, and you also notice why they talk about what happened to Clay in that game. It's nice to hear a coach talk about how they put their number one cover guy on him a lot
That's
of that
right.
game. And that shows you a lot of respect and tells you what, you know, what Charles Clay's been doing so far this season. When you take your number one corner guy in a lot of those situations throughout the game and you put him on your tight end, that's Clay's been doing it for us.
Yeah, and Ryan Tannehill again made a tough throw in a tight spot and got the ball to him. You know, in the pregame show yesterday, I was doing, you know, our normal QB breakdown. I was just doing the straight basic stats for the two quarterbacks in the game, Tannehill and Brady. And I realized that the numbers were much closer in a couple of the categories than maybe you would have realized, you know, we're watching the season. And to be fair, quarterbacks are judged mostly on their wins
right.
and their losses, but some of the statistics are starting to become very impressive for Ryan Tannehill. We went over this yesterday on the postgame show too. His last touchdown yesterday, the one to Thigpen, was his 23rd of the season. He is now the only Dolphin quarterback in history not named Dan Marino to throw for at least 23 touchdowns in a season. Nobody else had ever done it. Greasy had a 22 touchdown season. He never had a 23 touchdown season, and nobody else ever has besides Dan Marino. And then our buddy Kerry out in California tweeting some stats a few minutes ago. Here you go. Completion percentage, top 10 in the NFL right now. Tannehill is 8th. Dalton 9, Brady 10. Phillip Rivers is number one. He's obviously keeping some great company there. And then total yards, you got 10 QBs right now with over 3,500 yards passing. Tannehill is the 10th. The guys 1 through 9, Manning, Breeze, Brady, Rivers, Stafford, Roethlisberger, Ryan Palmer, Dalton, Tannehill. Those are your top 10 yardage quarterbacks in this 2013 season. No Luck, no RG3, no Russell Wilson. And again, I get that the wins are the thing, and all of those guys have had a playoff game under their belts, something Ryan Tannehill has not. A couple of them likely headed back, or certainly headed back to the playoffs this year. Ryan Tannehill now in a position to help lead his team into the postseason for the first time as just a second-year quarterback. You heard Bob Greasy on the highlight a few minutes ago. You're watching him grow up right before your eyes. Sometimes it doesn't happen automatically and overnight, but you certainly sense some really special things right now from Ryan Tannehill.
You really do. And I watched the game again this morning, and even Bill Cowher at halftime, he said, you know, Ryan Tannehill has his best. It does his best in the fourth quarter. And if this game is close, Miami's in good shape. That's how even the national people feel about what Ryan Tannehill's done. And if you look at over the last seven games, Jesse, you know, at the beginning of the game, he was having trouble. You know, he had 8 fumbles, 5 lost, you know, 11 TDs, but he also had 9 interceptions. He's had 1 fumble, hasn't lost in the last 7 games. He's had, you know, 12 touchdowns and just the 5 interceptions. He's just coming along so well. The last 3 games, passer rating of 94.2, 95.5, 120.6 yesterday. He is taking over this team slowly but sure. I think Mike Wallace alluded to that a little bit yesterday, but he is taking over this team, and you see the confidence the coaching staff have in him, and they're giving him the opportunity to go out there and make play after play after play and put the ball in your playmaker's hand. I think Ryan Tannehill is that guy.
I think guys are getting better around him too, OJ. I think that offensive line has been doing a great job of giving him room to step up and make clean throws on a higher percentage. I think in the beginning of the year, it was obvious that Ryan was getting hit way too many times. It was obvious that the ball was coming out, and it was obvious that he couldn't be as accurate as he wanted to be, because when you take, you know, poor protection and maybe trying to get to know your receiving core a little bit better, those things don't mesh unless you have a perfect pocket. And I think Ryan is starting to get a little bit more comfortable now throwing the football from different angles, from different spots. It's just not one release. And he's been able to drop it in the bucket. Yesterday he made a great throw down the left side. He made a nice back shoulder throw to Matthews down the left sideline. So he made different throws yesterday, and it's all really coming together at the right time for this football team.
Yeah, you did see a little bit of a difference maybe in some of the routes that the team was running offensively and some of the things they were asking the wide receivers to do. And the wide receivers came up with big plays. Mike Wallace, a huge touchdown at the end of the first half. It's just a basic slant. At least that's what it looked like to me. And once again, he broke a tackle and kind of did the rest on his own. We'll talk about that and Mike Wallace's big day when we return. One Direction makes the final stop of their 2014 Where We Are Tour at Sun Life Stadium on October 4th, 2014. Tickets are already on sale. Go to sunlifestadium.com. Take a break, come back, talk about Mike Wallace and his contributions to yesterday's victory. You're listening to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
It'd be about a 56-yard field goal attempt from here if they decided to go that route. Right, back to throw. Tannehill looking, firing over the middle. Complete to Wallace. He breaks free. Touchdown, Miami.
Oh, there you have it. Oh, Mike Wallace. That's a big play to get the Dolphins back in it.
Bank of America is giving your company the opportunity to be featured on the scoreboard of the next home game. Enter online at nameandlights.biz for your chance to be chosen. Welcome back. With O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi, I'm Jesse Agler. Dolphins over the Patriots yesterday, 24-20. You just heard Mike Wallace's 39-yard touchdown reception coming with 32 seconds left in the first half. It pulled Miami to within 10-7. And, John, it really kind of changed the way the first half felt heading into the locker room.
It felt good as a fan. It felt good in that stadium to see Mike Wallace come up and break a tackle, get it in stride, you know, and get some points before halftime, because you had the feeling that we just needed one big play to get the Miami Dolphins back in it, and that was it. And anytime you can go to the halftime break and score, you feel good about coming out in the second half, because you close the gap on the New England Patriots. And it seemed like New England had a couple nice drives in that first half, but they didn't get any big plays or any big points. You know, it wasn't like an insurmountable lead going to halftime. So you felt good about where the Miami Dolphins were. You knew they were in striking distance.
It was a little bit of a hang-around thing. And the Dolphins a couple of times this year had let teams hang around yesterday. It was the Dolphins who were hanging around at halftime. OJ, let's talk about Mike Wallace's day overall. Six catches, 105 yards, including the 39-yard touchdown. He looked into it. He was breaking tackles. He was making plays. They just missed on another deep ball. Tannehill got hit by Chandler Jones as he was throwing it, but that looked like a real complete effort from Mike Wallace yesterday.
It really was, man. I loved it. You know, one of the bigger catches, the ball on the sideline that Ryan had him on a go route.
Yeah.
And Ryan, you know, the guy got over top of him. He threw it towards the sideline, and Wallace did a great job of getting his feet down. He ran some routes on the inside. He had the reverse yesterday. You know, he did a lot of really good things well. And we just missed a shot on a deep ball down the right sideline. You know, I thought that it, you know, with the 9 targets and the 6 catches, I thought it was one of the best games that Mike Wallace had as a whole game for this team. Started off well, had some big plays all throughout the whole game, didn't disappear at any point. And I thought it was huge for him to get what he did. You know, they put Tlaib a lot of times on Heartline because they wanted to double up on Mike Wallace a lot of times. But when they got those one-on-one shots, you know, they took advantage of it.
All right, one of the other things to talk about are the things that did not go right, and luckily after a victory, you can do so a little bit differently than after a loss. We just sort of mentioned in passing the deep ball, they weren't able to connect. Wallace beat his guy like a drum. Unfortunately, Chandler Jones got quick pressure on Tannehill and hit him as he was throwing it. And then the other one was the field goal attempt that came late in the first half. Big play from Wallace, big play from Wallace in the air, a big play on the ground, Agnew with a nice catch, and etc. Up what looks like in a 10-0 game, or in a 7-0 game, or 3-0 game, sorry,
correct,
is going to be a field goal attempt from Caleb Sturgis to try and tie it from 42 yards out. The snap, as everybody has seen a million times now, hits Brandon Fields in the face mask. It sure looked to me like the Dolphins were going to fake that field goal, and Joe Philbin wasn't going to address that in his press conference. He kind of brushed right over it. But that was not a normal-looking field goal attempt, as far as I'm concerned.
No, me either. You know, you got a guy in John Denny and Brandon Fields who've taken snaps from each other a million times. You know, this isn't their first rodeo. And so it might have been the reason that it was a little bit off because something was on. But, you know, of course coach isn't going to say that it was or wasn't, because, you know, now the team's going to look at whoever coming up in the next couple of weeks, and I'm like, okay, here's their little lineup, their little set, what they're going to do, you know, in a fixed field goal situation. But
do
it
you
was
have to
a,
burn that play now, by
you do.
The way?
I think you do. Yeah. I think it's done. You know, but they've got a few of them, though. They've got to have a few of them.
Not
but you know
one.
What? And usually your fake field goals come on whatever team's look is. So there's a lot of different teams that can come with different field goal block looks. So they're going to look at whatever these guys do as a team, and then they'll take advantage of it. So every week there's a brand new fake field goal play in there.
Speaking
for
the most of
part.
Looks, I would have loved to seen the look on Darren Rizzi's face when he had those guys on the sidelines. Like, are you guys kidding me?
Right.
How many times do we
all
do
week
this?
Long.
All year long.
The other part of that play, which I haven't seen anybody write about or heard anybody talk about, was, remember, it's 4th and 1. And it looked to me like there might have been a hard count even before the snap, where Fields, the holder, was maybe trying to draw New England offsides, which would have been a first down and would have continued the series, because it looked like he gave a real loud hut. And then he kind of turned his head back to Sturgis, and as he was turning his head back around, the snap came. So I don't know if maybe
That's
it was
a call
first
too.
A hard count,
a great call.
And then it was going to be a fake, or not a fake if you're Joe Philbin, he doesn't want to tell us. But, you know, I think there were a couple of different things going on right there, and they were just a little bit off, obviously. And like you said, those two have snapped the ball to each other a million times between games and practices the last several seasons. But, yeah, I mean, Sturgis was off and running. Somebody else, and I couldn't tell who. I still haven't seen
free release,
great
I think, yeah.
Yeah, just heading up the field.
Yeah. So, well, maybe they're just covering the kick. You
yeah,
know?
That's all.
Maybe just
that,
covering
they were
the
fanning
kick.
Out.
The Auburn-Alabama game came into play, just covering the kick, just in case it was short.
Sure, yeah, I'll buy that. But, you know, it was interesting what you say, that oftentimes a fake field goal is specific to the opponent and the way they line up. But, yeah, I don't think they can run that same exact fake
throw
again.
Throw that page away.
Exactly. And maybe draw something up new, you know, for practice this week if you want to have a fake field goal in your back pocket. You almost wonder how many times they practiced it, though, over the course of the season. For all we know, that's something, you know, that they installed weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and they're just waiting for the moment, and then now it's just something that has to be torn out. All right, it's been a fun second look back at the Dolphins' 24-20 win over the Patriots. The postgame show, I guess, yesterday is the first look back, and the third look is still coming up about 4 hours from now. We've got the usual Finsiders show at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Sam Madison will come by. Joe Philbin will stop into the studio. We'll get to your phone calls, your text messages, your live chat questions, and the rest. We hope that you'll join us then. Big win for the Dolphins over the Patriots. They control their playoff destiny with two games to go. We'll talk to you at 5 right here on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.